In the race for solar supremacy, a 1% efficiency gain is a big deal. So what does it mean when a lab in China announces a leap to 33% efficiency, leaving today's best commercial panels in the dust? And more importantly, what happens when it's not just one lab, but a coordinated national push to commercialize it? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a tsunami of developments in one specific area, perovskite solar cells. We've gone from lab curiosities to world record efficiencies and massive commercial investments in a matter of months. Troy, for our listeners in manufacturing and trading, this feels like it's moving at light speed.
It is. Perovskite photovoltaics have always been the what-if technology, cheap materials, printable and flexible, with a theoretical efficiency that could eclipse a silicon. What we've seen this week is the transition from what if to when, and more specifically, where. And the data points overwhelmingly to Asia, particularly China.
Let's get right to the headline numbers. We saw a flood of announcements on efficiency records this week. Troy, what's the big news?
The most significant result came from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, specifically the Ningbo Institute, or NIMTE. On May 28th, they announced a certified power conversion efficiency of approximately 33% for a perovskite/silicon tandem solar cell.
Okay, unpack that. A tandem cell is a stack of two different types?
Correct. A perovskite layer on top of a traditional silicon cell. It captures a wider spectrum of light, boosting overall efficiency. But the key innovation here was what they call a passivation strategy. They used polystyrene nanospheres to deposit an ultra-thin insulating layer that plugs electrical leaks, a major source of degradation.
So it's not just more efficient, it's more stable.
Precisely. They maintained 90% of that initial efficiency after 1,000 hours of continuous operation. And they weren't alone. Another paper from the UK on May 30th detailed a similar tandem cell with a certified 32.52% efficiency and, critically, an extrapolated lifetime exceeding 9,700 hours. The same Chinese institute, NIMT, also hit a 30.3% world record for an all-perovskite tandem cell, no silicon involved.
This sounds like a direct assault on the incumbent solar industry. How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers who are heavily invested in silicon-based production lines?
It is an existential threat and a massive opportunity. The threat is that China is mastering a technology that could make billions of dollars of existing silicon PV manufacturing capacity obsolete. These tandem cells can be made by adding a perovskite layer to existing silicon lines, but doing so requires new equipment and intellectual property that China is now leading.
So what's the opportunity?
For Western chemical and materials companies, it's about supplying the high-purity precursor materials, the fullerenes, the transport layers. For equipment makers, it's about the specialized deposition and laser scribing tools. The window is closing, but it's open.
And for trading companies, is it too early to think about sourcing these new panels?
It's too early for mass market sourcing, but it's the perfect time to build relationships with these pilot stage producers like Renshine Solar in China, who just formed a strategic alliance with material specialist Jingling Technology. Getting in early to understand the production quality and stability data is critical.
So the actionable insight for executives?
If you are in the solar value chain, you need a dedicated perovskite intelligence team immediately. Map the IP landscape, identify which Chinese equipment suppliers are emerging as leaders, and evaluate joint venture or licensing opportunities before the technology is fully locked down. This isn't a future trend. The commercial race has already started.
That race isn't just about lab results. You mentioned equipment, Troy, and we saw a series of articles this week that look less like science and more like industrial buyer's guides.
Yes, and this is perhaps the most telling development. A Chinese company called Leching Intelligence Technology published at least 4 detailed guides between May 23rd and 26th. They weren't research papers, they were practical manuals on how to choose testing equipment, how to buy laser scribing machines, and how to build a complete perovskite module manufacturing line.
So they're not just inventing the car, they're publishing the manual on how to build the assembly line.
Exactly. These guides detail the pitfalls to avoid, like focusing on price over total cost of ownership, or underestimating the need for micrometer-level alignment accuracy in laser scribers. This signals a market that is rapidly maturing from R&D to pilot production. They are standardizing the manufacturing process.
What does this mean for a U.S. or European firm looking to get into perovskite manufacturing?
It means the supply chain for production equipment is being built out in China right now. If a European manufacturer wants to build a pilot line, they will likely be sourcing critical equipment like laser scribers and quality control testers from Chinese suppliers like Leching. They are building a turnkey solution.
That has huge supply chain implications. You could become dependent on a competitor for the very tools you need to compete.
That is the primary risk. For Western trading companies and distributors, this is a sourcing signal. These equipment suppliers are the ones to watch. Building a relationship now could secure access to the best manufacturing technology down the line, either for your own production or for distribution to emerging players in Europe and the US.
And this isn't just a Chinese story. We saw a major move from Japan.
A very significant one. On May 26th, Sekisui Chemical, a major player, announced a 100 billion yen strategic investment, that's about $640 million, into its flexible perovskite solar cell business. They are explicitly targeting profitability by fiscal year 2028, with over 25 billion yen in sales.
100 billion yen is not an R&D budget. That's a commercialization war chest.
It is. It's for establishing mass production technology. This validates the commercial viability of the technology outside of China and creates a powerful new player. For Western executives, this is a clear sign. The time for internal debate is over. Your competitors are placing nine-figure bets on this technology. The actionable insight is to evaluate your capital allocation strategy now. A wait-and-see approach means you will be buying panels from Sekisui or a Chinese competitor by 2028, not selling your own.
Beyond the mainstream solar farms, we're also seeing perovskites push into entirely new markets. One of the most compelling is space. What's happening there?
Three major developments. First, on May 24th, China launched its Shenzhou 23-manned spacecraft, and onboard were perovskite solar cells for a six-month in-orbit test. They are actively evaluating performance and degradation in the harsh radiation and temperature cycling environment of space.
So China is flight testing the technology. What about others?
Japan is right there with them. Eneco Technologies, a Kyoto University startup, announced on May 25th that they are targeting a 2035 commercial launch for their space-grade flexible perovskite cells. Their technology is over 10 times lighter than silicon equivalents and was selected for funding by JAXA, Japan's space agency.
Lighter weight means cheaper launch costs, which is everything in the space industry.
Correct. It completely changes the economics of satellite power. This isn't just a domestic play either. We saw Renshine Solar in China explicitly name next-generation space-based photovoltaics as a target for their new materials alliance.
This opens up a high-margin niche market. How can U.S. and European manufacturers approach this?
This is a prime opportunity. The U.S. and European aerospace and defense sectors have very stringent, high-value supply chains. A Western company that can master radiation-hardened perovskite encapsulation could become a key supplier, even if they can't compete with China on terrestrial utility-scale production. The performance requirements are different, and the volumes are lower.
And for distributors?
This is about specialization. Don't think about megawatts. Think about square meters. Identify the satellite manufacturers, the drone companies, the high-altitude platform developers. These are your customers. The market timing is now for R&D partnerships and qualification programs.
We also saw developments for applications back on Earth, like transparent solar cells.
Yes, from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, they developed an ultra-thin, color-neutral, transparent perovskite cell using thermal evaporation. The goal is to turn building windows and facades into power-generating surfaces.
Building integrated photovoltaics, or BIPV, the holy grail for urban energy.
It is. These cells are 50 times thinner than conventional ones and work well even in diffuse light. For Western manufacturers, particularly in glass and construction materials, this is a major technology to integrate. Think Saint-Gobain or Guardian Industries. The actionable insight is to start pilot projects now. Partner with a university or startup like NTU to integrate this technology into your building products. Don't wait for it to become a commodity.
All right, Troy, a massive week for a single technology. Let's distill this into a strategic summary for our listeners. What are the key takeaways?
First, the performance gap is closing and in some cases inverting. Chinese and UK labs have now demonstrated perovskite silicon tandem cells with efficiencies of 32 to 33%. This exceeds commercial silicon and signals that a major technological shift in the solar industry is imminent. US and European solar manufacturers must assume their current technology will be uncompetitive on efficiency within the next 3 to 5 years.
Second,
the manufacturing ecosystem is being built now in Asia. The publication of industrial buyer's guides from China and the massive 100 billion yen investment from Japan's Sekisui Chemical show the focus has shifted from the lab to the factory floor. Western firms must decide immediately if they will be equipment customers, technology licensors, or competitors. Passivity is a decision to exit the market.
And the third key takeaway?
High-value niche applications are the most accessible entry point for Western companies. While competing with state-backed Chinese firms on utility-scale production will be difficult, markets like space, defense, and high-end building-integrated photovoltaics have different requirements. They value lightweight, flexibility, and radiation hardness over pure cost per watt. This is where U.S. and European engineering and material science can still build a defensible lead.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change is accelerating, and we'll be here to track the signals that matter for your business. Troy, thank you.
My pleasure.
Join us next week for Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, thank you for listening.